Welcome to the Christian Ministries Church Podcast. As you listen, we pray God's blessing be over you and that He will empower you with inner strength through His Spirit. Now let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison.
If you have your Bibles, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 4. I want to kind of pick up with where we left off last week. And I want, as you're turning there, I just want to give you the title of what I'm talking about today so you won't wonder what I'm talking about. Today is a real simple title. And parents, you're going to get this as well as probably anybody. When you're wanting your children to do what you have asked them to do, you're wanting obedience out of them. And so what we want to do is we want to move to a place where we're not demanding things of our kids, but we're asking them and they give the right response. Can anybody identify with that? I don't know if these words have ever came out of a parent's mouth here, but I'm thinking they probably have. All right, I asked you, but since you said the wrong thing, now I'm telling you. I'm not asking you no more. I'm telling you. But it would have been so much better for us as parents not to have had to said that if they'd have just said, yes, ma'am, or yes, sir. Yes. We are working on telling our kids to say, yes. Yes, will you clean your room? Okay, now I'm not asking you. Get in there and clean your room. But what we're hoping is for the day that we can say, would you go do this? And they say, yes. Yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I know that if your child said that, some of you would be like passing out. Sure, I would love to please you, Mom. And not be sarcastic when they say it. Yes, I would love to do what you asked me to do. I just wonder, because we use the illustration of parents a lot, because we're a church that believes in family and how God orchestrated it to operate, and we say that a lot, I wonder how much God looks at his kids and just is waiting for them to, come on, just say yes. Just say yes. You know it's the right thing to do. Just say yes. Ephesians 4:11. If you haven't found it by now, give up. Here we go. These are the gifts Christ gave to the church: the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors, and the teachers. All right, we talk about all five of those giftings that are in the church, and I want you to know that then it says in verse 12 what their responsibility is. And I take that very seriously because I'm one of the five, and I operate in these, and we have all these operating in our church. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church, the body of Christ. We are to equip God's people to do his work. Verse 13 goes on to say, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we'll be no longer immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly. As each part does his own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. I ask you this today. Are you doing your part to help the other parts grow? Can you see other people growing because you did your part? I'm telling you, people are growing in the Lord because I'm here and did what God asked me to do. I said yes. And because I said yes, I'm telling you, people are growing. Yeah, that's good. Pastor, that's just your opinion. I'm just reading the Bible. There's no opinion about that. That's what the Bible says. Are you doing your part so that others are growing in their part? We talked about three stages of Christianity last week. We talked about the first stage that we enter in the Christian walk is the receiving stage. We enter the receiving stage. If you've been here on Wednesday nights, I love the illustration Melanie's been giving. It's been very powerful. The three areas in the Old Testament of the tabernacle. And we are now the tabernacle, but there's three areas, the outer court, the inner court, or the holy place, and then the holy of holies. And so we are working on all the time being mature enough in the Lord to enter his presence at a position that will allow others to be blessed. The outer court is just the area of receiving. The outer court. Now, I'm not going to go and teach all that. You need to listen to it. It was really good. But the stages of Christianity is receiving. And that's how we all enter Christianity. I'm not here to put it down. We're receivers. We received what we couldn't do from what he did, Jesus. Jesus did that for us, and so we receive salvation. Aren't you glad? Yes. I'm so glad that I was a receiver and I could receive what Jesus did on my behalf. I like it when I receive some of the promises that he's promised me. And I know that there are more coming. I'm going to be a receiver. I'm going to continually be in a position where I can receive what God has. But I want to know that as a receiver, there is a next level past just being a receiver. See, what you read about Jesus here in verse 15 in Ephesians is we are to grow in every area to be more and more like him. Let me ask you, do you see Jesus in Scripture? If we're to be more and more like him, do you see him as a receiver? We are to grow to be more and more like him. Do you read in Scripture Jesus being a receiver? Somebody come pray for me, please. See, do you see Jesus saying that anywhere in Scripture? He was teaching people how to be like him. And he had to start that out off by being the giver to someone who needed to receive. And if you're going to be more and more like him, at some point you can't always be the one receiving. You got to be the one giving. If you're going to be more like him, Jesus just, now, did he receive? There may be a lot of receiving that we didn't read about in Scripture, but I'm telling you, God's son, he pretty much had it all. I don't know. My mind just goes places that sometimes I go, I have to, God, is this yours? I'm just going out in left field. But I started looking into this, and you just don't see Jesus in the receiving role a lot. What he did is give. Well, I appreciate him giving. I like that because I'm a receiver. And we needed to be that. We needed to be the one who received what he gave. But we can't stay in only that position. And that's the part that where I see Christianity as a whole across what I know of it in our nation is we got churches full of receivers. Churches full of gimme, gimme, gimme. If you're not entertaining me, entertainment is a receiving sport. See, if you're not entertaining me, if I don't like the worship, if I don't like the preacher, if I don't like the youth program, if I don't like, see, it's all about receiving, and we've got a church that's built around satisfying receivers. We got to give so they can receive. Now, hear me. I am about giving people what they need. I'm also about giving things they don't need. We don't need the breakfast that's cooked for the women on Saturday morning. It's fattening. The breakfast that the men get is fattening. We don't need it. But you know what? We're given things even that people don't always need because we know that we serve a society that's a receiving society. So we want to get them to get what they want. But why are we doing that? So eventually we can grow them in the image of Christ to where they're the ones that are the givers. And sometimes you can give something that someone doesn't need so you can let them see their areas of need. You go, I don't know if I agree with that. What did Jesus do? Not everybody that was there of the 5,000 needed fish and bread. There was some that were hungry. But I know that a lot of times people are going to eat when I'm around a group of people and I'm like, I just ate 2 hours ago. I don't need that. But I don't let that bother me. I'm telling you, there's probably some people of the 5,000 that were there that didn't need to be eating fish and bread. I don't know. That's just the way I think. I just think that we're a society built on receiving. And when something's there and it's free, gimme, 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 I'll take it. All our advertising's set up around that. It's sitting around trying to get people to say, I could receive that. Well, let's get them there so we can get them more receiving. See, we start out as receivers and then we transition. And in the transition role, we talked a little bit about it, how important it is as we mature that we mature into the place where we don't, oh, I don't like this giving part. I don't like the training for the giving part. I don't like the going and sitting on the mount with Jesus and him going to pray. Y'all pray while I'm gone. No, I think I'll take a nap instead. See, the transition times of life end up either putting us into the role of going ahead and getting trained and ready to move in to a transformed life, or it moves us back to the receiver role. And I'm sick and tired of God's people getting in this transition and then just leaving the church or leaving and going back to, I'm just a receiver, receiver, receiver. We got to get past this point. I ended last week with this challenge. Somebody go buy a gas card and ask the Lord when you get here on Sunday who to give it to. Pray somebody did that. I know some did. Some of you are sitting there going, I didn't get one. You haven't heard anything I said. Gimme, 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 gimme. How many people went and got a gas card and is living the transformed life and was going to give something that someone may have needed? If nobody did that, you got to ask yourself the question, what did you do? Well, I lived in the transition stage. I came and heard what was said, but I didn't do anything with it. Some of you are going, who are you to tell me to go buy a gas card? I said right after that, it may not be a gas card. It may be watching somebody's kids. So maybe it wasn't a gas card. But what did you do this week that wasn't putting you just in the area of, I come to church just to hear what's being said, but I'm not doing anything with it? Are you in the transition stage? Or are you in the one that said, boy, I hope someone heard that because I'm waiting for my gas card? See, are we the receiver? Are we the transition? Or are we the givers? I love Pastor Tim Brooks and what he says all the time. If you come to church and you don't get your toes stepped on, then go find another church. I want to continually have areas that I'm growing in. And I want to go, oh, that one right there applied to me. Well, you're in one of the three areas. And if you're not in one of the three areas, then you need to get into the receiving stage and know Jesus. And I'll be here after service and I want to introduce you to him. He's the greatest, greatest, greatest thing, person that will ever happen in your life. So we got to enter Christianity as a receiver. But I don't want Christian Ministries Church staying in the receiving mode. Want them transitioning, and I know that transition takes time, and we talked about all of this last week, but I'm kind of giving a new thought to it or a new understanding, and maybe let's talk about the word transformed, and what does that really look like? Because in the transition stage, it's tough. It's tough, and it's easy just to slip back into the receiving stage. Well, I'm not feeling well today. God, I'm needing your healing. I understand needing that. My wife is not here today because she's in need of that. We're praying. We're anointing her with all types of oils. And we're doing everything we can to see her. Nobody would have laughed at that 20 years ago, but today that's funny. And so we're doing everything we can to get her transitioned into the transformed life, but right now she's needing to receive. So I understand needing some receiving, and please don't hear that I'm trying to put that down. But you're well today. Who are you praying over that's not? So we've got to get to a place where we live transformed enough that we live the transformed life, and we don't look like a transition person, and we don't look like somebody who's just needing to receive all the time. Romans 12:2. This word transform says in Romans, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God do what? Transform you. Transform you into what? A new person. How does he do that? By changing the way you think. Oh, I like that verse. Then, after you've been changed, the way you think changes, you'll learn to know God's will for you, which is good, pleasing, and perfect. I think that after you've spent so much time in the receiving stage, you start seeing that someone was the giver. Or you don't. Here's where our society is. Nobody's seeing who the giver is. And so we're raising up a young person who feels entitled. Everybody should give me. Some of you might not want me to do this, and I don't care. That's mean. A socialist society is built all on receivers. We need to be a society that's built on givers. That defines the United States, and they did for centuries. See, we worked hard, and we got ourselves to a place where we were transformed. Now, that transition took some time, and there was ups and downs through that. And we found ourselves in transition stage and transition stage. But you go anywhere in the world, and there's not a second to the United States in the lifestyle that we live. Not a second. And so I just realized that a lot of times as I'm watching the news, we're gearing our young people to be receivers. We need to gear them to receive Jesus and then transform them into maturity to be a giver. It's just that easy. And how do you do that? By teaching them to say yes. Not do I have to? Yes, you have to. And there was a bunch of people that spent time in prisons during World War II that were made to do something. Don't put yourself in a position in this society that you feel so entitled that eventually that entitlement becomes a demand on you and you have to, you don't get to anymore. You get to learn how to move out of the receiving stage and you transition into a transformed life, into the giving stage. And the only way that works is the Bible. It's the only way. That's the only way it works. Is the Bible, a nation that is founded on God. See, it's no longer about me. It's just at the beginning, I realized that I got saved because I didn't want to go to hell. That was about me. And I'm grateful that I received that. But at some point, the yes that you said to get you out of hell should be the same yes you say to Jesus that gets you into a transformed life. I like the verse in Romans because it doesn't sit there and say anything about salvation. It says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world. It was to the Christian. Let God transform you after you've been saved and change the way you think. You don't change all of your thinking the day you're saved. You transition into the transformed life. I look back on my life, and every time that I know that I know that I said yes to God in whatever area, and sometimes it was saying yes to people, but ultimately it was saying yes to God. Young people know this. Saying yes to your parents is like saying yes to God. And if you don't ever learn to say yes to your parents and you're made to, guess what Christianity is going to be after you get out of your home? Well, I have the choice now. I couldn't have a choice at home. I'm all about dragging kids to church when they're young. But when they're 19, some of the effect's gone. They need to want to. There needs to be a yes that's already in them. See, there's got to be a transformation that takes place over that time. Now, my life was better every time I said yes, but you know what? I can look back, as we all can. After we were saved, at times we should have said yes and we said no. I should have said yes and said no. And I found that every time I can look back and realize the areas I said no, it ended in death and frustration. But every time I said yes, it ended in life and life more abundant. As I can look back, I've got enough time now in my life where I can see that. I teach parenting all the time, and here's one of the things I teach parents to say. Do everything you can to say yes until you have to say no. Every time a young person is around you, you have an opportunity to say yes to them. Are you kidding me? Kids are like, parents, listen right now. This is good. What do you mean? I'm talking about say yes as long as you're not leading them into sin or down a road that will eventually lead to sin. But do your best to say yes. Well, why would that be? Let me just give you an illustration. And again, this makes sense to me, and I pray it will you. But if you are a parent that every time they turn the corner says no, 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 and don't give them a yes as to why the no was given, and you just say no, 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 and then they get around some other authority that says, well, sure, yeah, I don't have any problem with that. Guess who they're getting ready to submit to and who they're going to rebel against? Now, some of you are going, wait, wait, wait. What if they ask to drink? I gave the disclaimer. I'm not talking about a road that could lead them to sin. I'm not talking about that road. I'm talking about a road that right now, well, society says you have to be 21. Okay, you can use that rule. You can do whatever you want, and I don't need to be talking about just drinking. But what about how far can I go with my boyfriend or girlfriend? Well, let's just not go, let's not go down that road right now. Let's talk about purity. And you start trying to say, why would I say yes? Because I'm going to talk about what marriage will mean and what will it mean to your spouse one day. And I mean, you give a lot of reasons why no actually means yes. We've got to work on the yes thing. Now, I'm going to explain this deeper because I know I may have got some of y'all confused. You got to pay attention long enough to get what I'm talking about here. Someone will give your son or daughter a yes if they're looking for a yes. And someone will give your son or daughter a no if they're looking for a no. We've got to line the yeses up with the kingdom of God. And we're not determining this. I'm talking to a bunch of Christian people who should know the word. Now, if you're not comparing it to the word, yes and no means nothing. And I'm going to go deeper into that later. Christianity's been given a bad rap. Everything that seems to be on the news or said about Christianity is that Christians don't get to do anything. See, they don't see the benefit of no. They don't see the benefit of yes. Matthew 28:18. Jesus did something really cool here. He told his disciples, I've been given everything, all authority. I've been given all of this. And because you've been with me and because of who I am in your life, in verse 19 it says, go therefore and don't. Don't do anything. Go therefore and say no. Just say no. How many of y'all remember Nancy Reagan's slogan? Just say no to drugs. Okay, I'm editing myself now. All right, there's five or six of us in here. Just say no. Bert, you were there. Don't laugh. All right, so therefore and go and do. It says in verse 19, go and make disciples. Go and do something. And I think that no oftentimes means we're not going to do, and yes means we're going to do. Matthew 21, verse 18. In the morning, as Jesus was returning to Jerusalem, he was hungry. He noticed a fig tree beside the road, and he went over to see if there were any figs, but there were only leaves. And he said to it, may you never bear fruit again. And immediately, you know what happened? The fig tree withered up. I love this little story. It's just a real quick one. And you might go, well, what was the deal there? I can tell you what the deal was. Jesus looked very dimly. He looked very sadly on anything that wasn't producing. He went to see if there was any fruit. He went to see if there was anything there. He took a dim view of a lack of production. Matthew 7, verse 15. Beware of false prophets who come disguised as harmless sheep, but they're really vicious wolves. You can identify them by their fruit. That is, by the way they act. We're not talking about oranges, but we're talking about fruit being compared to by the way they act, verse 16. You can identify people by the way they act. You can pick grapes. No, he says, can you pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? A good tree produces good fruit. A bad tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a bad tree can't produce good fruit. So every tree that does not produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into fire. Yes, just as you can identify a tree by its fruit, you can identify people by their actions. Don't you think for a second that people don't know whether you are a receiver, if you're in transition, or if you're a giver. People know. Well, how do they know? Because they can know by your fruit. They can know by your actions. Are you the one handing out the gas card? Or are you the one receiving the gas card? See, I'm all about believing God for the next level. I'm all about, God, you're just going to come through here for me. I'm all about that. But I'm also all about, God, I'm knowing that you're going to show me who's needing you to come through for them. And at some point, we got to be the one who is showing the fruit of a transformed life. Are you getting this today? Trying to bring it all together. Well, how do I do that? I say yes in the right area. The world identifies a Christian based on what they won't do. The world sees Christianity, especially in our academic environment, college especially is what I'm talking about right now. So those of you that are getting ready to go to college, hear me out. Well, I'm going to Christian college. It doesn't matter. The world sees Christianity as, if you're a Christian, well, they won't go to the party. They won't. They don't. They'll say no. They don't cuss. They don't cheat. They don't tell dirty jokes. And if somebody tells a dirty joke in their presence, they'll walk away or they don't laugh. See, and you're identified as a Christian by the world as you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't, you don't. They say no to everything. They say no to everything. They're just fuddy-duddies. We've got to change the perception of Christianity in an environment that needs to know the true identity of Jesus. Now, how do we do that? We need to identify Christianity by what we're doing, not by what we're not doing. There are things that I don't do. But I don't just say, no, we're not doing that. I say why we're not doing that. See, I don't go out to bars on Friday night because I'm trying to build a good marriage. I don't go to bars on Friday night. Why not? Because I don't see the life in the actions that I see of the people that I know do that aren't going to a transformed life. They're acting like they're not even in the receiving life. Bless their hearts. I'm not going and partaking in something that is not going to produce life for me. So what am I going to do? I'm going out with my wife on Friday night. We're not going to bar. What we're going to do is we're going to hang out with some other people that we're doing life with. See, I'm doing something different. It doesn't mean that I'm saying no to this. I'm saying yes over here. I don't do anything until I check with my wife. You know, I have had this happen to me. Hey, are you available? I don't know, I need to check with my wife. And I've had people go. Everybody here knows what that means. And I say, yep. She got me hooked. And I'm a good fish. And she did good. I'm wanting in her boat, buddy. See, I mean, you can sit here and go, no, 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 yes. I'm going to turn this no to a yes. Well, I don't lie and I don't misrepresent my business. No, I'm not going to go do that because I'm a man of integrity, yes. And I'm going to be well respected, yes. See, we got to turn our nose the right way. Let me give you another really good example here because I'm sick and tired of Christians being misrepresented. And here's the sad part, Christianity is misrepresenting them. I'm going to send this sermon to some leadership of some organizations that I'm very well aware of. And I don't think they've done anything on purpose, but I'm pretty frustrated about it. Yesterday, at the Missouri Christian School conference thing that we were, or association that we were in, the tournament we were in, they every year, and every tournament I've ever been to does it, they give what they call, at this one, it was a sportsmanship award. A lot of them, it's the Christian Spirit Award. There's a lot of different things that it's called, but it all goes to the team that most represented Jesus. Here's what it was in every division. And I listen. I sit there and listen. Because I want to know who won these. The team that was most like Jesus was the losing team in every division. Every division. I watched it yesterday. And I knew a couple of the teams that won the sportsmanship award. That's all I'll say. Yesterday and always and forever that I've watched this. And when we do, eventually a tournament here, this won't be the case. But the award always went to the team that didn't win a game. So to get the sportsmanship award, you need to be the loser. Let me say it another way. You need to be the one who doesn't produce. The least producer is the one that gets the award that looks most like Jesus. What did Jesus do with the least producer? It says it's burned and thrown in the fire. The least producer, if you take scripture and you really want to look at it, he walked up to the fig tree and said, "Cursed be you." Whew. I never thought about it like that. Well, you might want to. I don't want to be the non-producer. I want to be the producer. And the sportsmanship award should go to the one who produced and looked the most like Jesus, not the loser. Jesus is not the loser. He's the winner. We know that. Matthew 7:21. Not everyone who calls out to me, "Lord, Lord," will enter the kingdom of heaven. Only those who actually do the will of my Father, they're the ones that enter heaven. The ones who are the doers, the ones who are the producers, the ones who are doing what I ask them to do. They're the ones that are obedient. Not everyone that says, "Oh, Lord, 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 help me, help me." Be careful when you say no. It's not something you should have said yes to. And if you're saying yes, then get in there with all you are and be a producer. No shouldn't mean that you're doing less for the kingdom. It needs to be that no means I'm not doing that because I am doing something for the kingdom. The Bible says all over the place, and in fact, I looked it up 226 times, the words are used, "whosoever will." 226 times, "whosoever will." John 3:16, "whosoever believes in him should not perish." Would that be you? Then say yes. Okay, we need more than that. John 3, "whosoever believeth in him should not perish." Is that you? Yes. All right, we said yes. Romans 10:13, "whoever should call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Is that you? All right, John 5:4, "whosoever was the first in the water after the angel stirred the water in the pool would be healed." If you are needing healing, would you be the first in the water? Some of y'all are going, 226 times of this? Hold on, I just got a few more. Matthew 7:24, "whosoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be like a wise man who builds his house on the rock." Is that you? Yes. See, "whosoever drinks the water that I shall give shall never thirst again." Is that you? Yes. Yeah. Mark 8:34, "whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Is that you? Is it? "Whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me." Well, yeah, that's what I did. I got saved. All right, what about after salvation? Because that puts you in the inner court. Or puts you in the outer court and puts you into the opportunities for the inner court, for the holy place, it puts you in the opportunity to transition into the transformed life. But are we living there yet? Boy, I just think this message could transform your life if you will get what I'm trying to say today. Only the transformed will be the whosoever wills. Only the transformed will have a want to say yes. Only the transformed. "Pastor, I'm not going down. I'm not a cow. I'm not going to go with everybody else." Well, if everybody else in this church is headed towards Jesus and you're not, it's not about everybody else, it's about him. Don't judge what you're doing based on the crowd. Judge what you're doing based on what he says. Only the transformed can, let's go to our vision this year, only the transformed will be able to create a place. Because the rest of them are just going to enjoy the place. Only the transformed can create a place where people will see church as a bunch of God people who are doing it God's way and based on God's word and based on God's heart. See, only the transformed will be the ones who create a place for that to happen. The people that are receiving aren't going out and creating a place. They're looking for the place. This message this year is about a transformed life. It's about creating a place where you said yes because it's God's will. In the church, those whose heart is to come to church and give, you come to church, you start walking in a different mindset. You get sold out to the areas that the church is ministering in and the church operates in every Sunday. It takes work to make things happen around here. It does. And I'm just telling you, when you come to give and in the areas of giving, then you have served. And here's one of the benefits of serving. When you serve, you connect with other Christians. Come on. When you serve, well, I just don't know very many people. When you serve, you connect with other Christians. Well, I just don't think anybody cares. When you serve, you give an opportunity to serve with another Christian who I promise you cares. It's when you serve with other people that you get the benefit of other people. And those other people then can get in agreement with you on the will of God. Not in agreement in areas that aren't the will of God, but in areas that are the will of God. And as they get in agreement with you, I'm just telling you, things start changing. You just read about agreement in Scripture. You start seeing kingdom effects. But let me just tell you, it takes saying yes. Last week I asked you to pray about serving here at CMC. You said, I wasn't here last week. Well, you're here this week. I'm going to tell you again. I'm going to ask you about serving at CMC. Next couple weeks, we're going to be talking a little bit about this. And I want to ask you today the same way I used to ask my kids. Are you going to say yes? And I always give them the opportunity. And I would tell them, not being demeaning or anything, it'll benefit you to say yes to that. It'll benefit you. But here's the thing. You start demanding that of someone in high school or to an adult, you're going to run them off. And so there's no demands here. And you know what? God said, whosoever will. You know what that also means? A lot of whosoever wants. And I want to give you an opportunity to move past the transition stage into the transformed life. Well, how does that happen? It happens through learning to serve and not just receive. So we don't want to be just receivers. So I ask you to pray about serving. So the next couple weeks, we're going to continue to do that. I don't want you to think, though, if you sign up for something here that you're stuck in it. What do you mean? We've made that mistake. Where people feel like, I don't want to do it, but nobody else will, so I have to. When you start serving out of a have to instead of a get to mindset, then it'll take you down. And then it'll move you back to the stage of, I just wish I was back to being the receiver. If you don't stay connected to the Lord and His will, and you say yes to Him, not me, because we as a church are together. And the whole reason why we are here today is because a bunch of people said, together we're going to do this.
We're so glad you joined us. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit cmchurch.net.